I want to say it's good to be here tonight, and I'm surprised to see as many folks as there is from as many different places as there are here tonight. But I know most of the people here, and we're all the children of God. That's what's really important, that we know the Lord, and to be able to gather together in the house of God. I always count it a blessing to be among God's people. I have chosen for many years to live my life among God's people because I believe it's the best place that we are able to live our life. Amen. And the blessings there are greater than anywhere else. I do want to just make a couple of comments before that we proceed. I do want to thank everyone for praying for me when I was after I'd had my hip operation and hip surgery. And I already had some meetings scheduled. I was in one week before this previous week. I was in a revival in Bowling Green for 10 days. And right after I had my surgery, I was wondering if I would be able to fulfill the commitments that I'd made. I was, my friend over here, Brother Billy Clemens, had already had this at a very young age, and I talked to him, and so I found out that this was not going to be something that was going to be quick, and it was going to take some time, but I'm able to be up and about and get around, and I've been back at my church that I pastor. After 5 weeks, I was out 5 weeks, and then I went back, and I would preach on Sunday morning, and I would limp back over to the house, and I live right beside the church, and then I came up on a Sunday. I had to do a twofer, you know. I had to preach in the morning and then in the evening. And when I got through with that second one on Sunday night, I almost crawled back over to the house the first time I did that. But it's much better now, and I thank God for it, and everything will be well. I was wondering, actually today, as we was driving down this afternoon, 3 hours on I-65, and if you've got to go somewhere, find some other way to go besides I-65, because that road is clogged, I'm telling you. But I was wondering who was going to be leading the singing tonight, and Brother Claraday, I came in and I saw him, so I said, well, I guess that's my answer. I remember a number of years ago, Brother Claraday, I knew some of the family, and I asked him one time, I said, now how many of you are there? How many is in your family, brothers and sisters? He told me, I can't even remember, but it's a pretty good number. 14. But he told me the number, and he said, I'll never forget it, he said, you know, the people used to say over where he grew up that ground over there was so poor that you couldn't raise anything except Claridays and sagebrush. That's all it would grow, just Claridays and sagebrush. But it grew a bunch of Claridays. But we're thankful for Brother Claraday. He's a good song leader and a faithful servant of the Lord. I do want to say that I appreciated all of the cards. So when I was laid up for a while, I got a lot of get well cards from a lot of folks, and quite a few from the people here at Faith Church and Mount Calvary Church and other places. And I've still got those at home laying on a little credenza in my study. I've still got them laying there because if I get a chance, I'm going to go back through them. You know, I like to read them the second time. They're good the second time. It's good to have everyone here tonight. My wife has a daughter. And I've never tried to be a stepfather to my wife's children. They had a wonderful father. They had a wonderful father. But they have treated me so well since that I married into that family. That was 2011, 4 years ago, and I thank God for Ann that he put in my life. She's a wonderful Christian woman, a saved person, and she's been a great help to me. She goes. She's sick tonight, or she'd be here, but she'll be here before the week's over. But her favorite daughter is here tonight, Tanya, and she has two daughters. But I can say that. I talked to the other one on the way over here. She called me to wish me Happy Father's Day. But Tanya topped her. She came by and hand-delivered her card to me tonight. And then her favorite granddaughter, Caitlin, is here too. So I'll get no argument at all about that while I'm here. And the rest of them won't even know I said that. But it's good to be here tonight. We appreciate them being here. Tanya's husband is in Akron, Ohio, pastoring a church. They've had a tough thing for a year and a half, but maybe God's going to get all that worked out and they'll be in one place. But it's been a tough thing. We ask for your prayers tonight. I pray and ask God to give me what he wants me to bring for your hearing, and that's all I know to do. A few months ago, your pastor mentioned some of the words that I have, or that is contained in this passage of Scripture. And I don't know if there's any lost people here tonight or not, but if they are, they can still seek the Lord. But I want to read a passage of Scripture tonight. I want to say one more thing. I've just got to get some of these things off, and then we'll be ready to go for the week. It's a very moving thing for me to come here to this place where I spent 5 years, but not just the fact that I was here 5 years, that didn't amount to very much. But during those 5 years, we saw numbers of people saved in this church. Most of those young people are now grown. I asked about a couple of them when I came in tonight, Lisa, her two sons, and they're grown. They're in other states, living in other states. But there was a lot of young people growing up here at that time. And some of them got saved 1 year down at the singing school. About three of them got saved down there 1 year. But my granddaughter and my grandson, both of them got saved right here. Right back there about where Brother Colin Dyer sat. On Tuesday nights, not the same year, they both sought the Lord for 3 years. But they prayed through. And I thank God for that. That means more to me than anything except my own salvation. And this is the place. And as long as they live, you know. Well, when they sang the Days of the Week song, you know, their minds will go back to this place. Is where that they found the Lord. And so it's precious to me. I want to read a passage of Scripture tonight that we find in the 85th Psalm for a Scripture reading. I just want to read about six verses of Scripture, beginning in verse 1. Thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again? that thy people may rejoice in thee. And that last verse, I want to use that as a lesson text tonight and a subject if I need one. But we notice that those words are in the form of a question. The question is, wilt thou revive us again? This was the question that Israel was asking of their God. You know, when that we read the history of Israel, it's interesting in many regards. We understand that when Israel came into the land of Canaan to possess the land, Joshua led them in, and Joshua was over them as long as he lived. And then there was about 400 years of the judges. They were called judges, but they were really military leaders, I believe. They were people that would lead Israel in the battles against their enemies, the nations around them that were always trying to take them over. But then the time came when that Israel wanted a king. And they wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted to have a king that would rule over them and go in and out before them and lead them. God wasn't in favor of that, but you know, God will give us things that we want and that we ask for that's not even good for us, but that was the case with Israel. God allowed them to have a king, and they chose a man by the name of Saul who turned out just about like God said that it would. And after God had rejected Saul because he disobeyed God, then God selected David to be the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. And I believe that means a lot. We should all be like David in that respect. And David ruled over Israel for about 40 years, I believe. And then after that he died, his son Solomon came to the throne, and Solomon ruled over Israel. But after the death of Solomon, the 10 northern tribes, David and Solomon was of the tribe of Judah, and the 10 northern tribes did not want the son of Solomon to rule over them. They rejected that and said, we'll not serve him. And the result was that the nation of Israel was split. The 10 tribes in the northern part of Canaan, they was known as the kingdom of Israel, and Judah and Benjamin down in the southern part where that Jerusalem was, where the temple stood, became known as the kingdom of Judah. But read the history of Israel from that point on. Just read their history in the book of Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. You can read it. And the scriptures will say a certain king would become king. And in the first paragraph, or the second paragraph, or verse, if you will, it will always say, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then the next king would come along, and it was invariably, not every time, but almost every time, it will say, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And we find that Israel was going from a good king who would lead the people of Israel in the way that they should go and restore the worship of God and the sacrifice to God and do those things that the people would follow and God would be pleased. But then when that this evil king would come to the throne and and he would tear down the places of worship, and the people would take up idols, and they would do all of the things that displeased God, and he would withdraw himself from them. And folks, God will withdraw himself from his people if they will not adhere to what that he wants them to do. And that was the history of Israel. And Israel would descend, and the spirituality of the people would descend and sink into the very depths, and the people would be so far from God. But then when the good king would come, God would revive them again. It's recorded in the Word of God. God would revive them again. I'm not sure, and we don't know what the particular thing was about the 85th Psalm, but the writer undoubtedly was referring to that very thing. They had been far from God, and they said, "Wilt thou revive us again? Revive us again." You know, we get far from God. As God's people, we may think that we're right where God would have us to be. We just cruise along. You know, we kind of live our life on cruise control. But you can't live for God that way. You see, we may even think in our minds that we're right where God would have us to be, and we can be far from him. God said in one place, he said, "This people draws near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Far from me. We need sometimes to be revived. I mean, really revived. I'm not just talking about, you know, just a little something that will have an effect upon us and change us for about 15 minutes. I'm talking about really being revived in the Spirit of God so that we're able to serve God with a true and purposeful heart and be pleasing to God in all of our ways. We need to be revived. In Romans, about the 8th, the 11th chapter, I believe, it speaks there of how that God had given to the Jews a spirit of slumber. A spirit of slumber. They were just slumbering. You know what that means. God had given to them a spirit of slumber because they had turned their hearts away from God, and he gave them a spirit of slumber. Well, people in our churches, we get to the place where that we're just slumbering. I mean, we're going through the motions, but our hearts is not really in it. You know, even to this very day, the devices of Satan are many. You know, and we're not immune. As God's people, we're not immune to the devices of Satan. The devices of Satan are powerful, and they're many. And Satan, if he hears the word revival, he springs into action, I can tell you that. You know, Satan wants to discourage God's people. He wants to discourage God's people. You know, if Satan can discourage us enough, then we won't put much effort out because we're discouraged. And Satan is a great discourager of God's people. He can tell you all the reasons. And he's got many. He may have already told somebody before tonight, "Well, you can't have a very good revival this year because of this." Or, "You can't have a very good revival this year because of this." Well, Satan is a liar. Amen. Satan is a liar. The scripture says that Satan is just a liar and the father of it. You see, Satan wants to discourage people today just like he did in the Old Testament. Now, back over in about the first, in about the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, there's a passage of scripture there that concerns Israel, and their army was out arrayed against the Philistine army. And they had this great giant. I mean, this mighty man. And he would come out and he would challenge the men of Israel, in the army of Israel, to come out and fight him. And they were all afraid. And they were actually discouraged because this giant just came out and challenged them every day. But David, one day, he goes out to check on his brothers. And he gets there and he sees this. He sees this giant defying the army of Israel, who were the people of God. And all of his own brothers, well, they were afraid to go out and fight this giant. They were discouraged, and what are they going to do? But David looks at that, and he sees something that they don't see. You know, sometimes one person can see something, look at the very same thing, and they see the glass half full, and the other one sees it, half empty. David saw this giant not as some giant that no man could take down, but he saw that he was defying the God of Israel. And that's what he was doing. He was defying the God of Israel, because the God of Israel went with them to every battle that they ever fought, and every battle that they ever won, he won. They didn't win it. He did. And David said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Well, folks, there's a cause. Oh, yes, there's a cause. And the cause is lost people. The cause here is lost souls that's lost and without God. But you know, before souls can be saved, God's people will have to be revived. We don't just need to be revived. We need to be revived. But we must be revived. We must. Without that, nothing can be accomplished. I believe I've never seen a great revival meeting. I've never seen a time when souls were saved anywhere that I've ever been. I've been in a lot of churches all my life. But every time that I've ever seen when that the Spirit of God would come on the scene and save souls, before that happened, God's people would be revived. And that's what that God's people needs. You see, yes, there is a cause. And here is the cause. It's recorded in the 9th chapter of Matthew, and this is the cause. These are the words of Jesus. You know, when it's written and read, I pay a little extra attention to it. I believe everything that's contained in this book is the Word of God. And I believe it all. But when it's recorded and read, Jesus spoke those words, and I put a little bit more emphasis in my mind and heart on them. I don't know about you. But Jesus spoke these words. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." The harvest is plenteous. Now, your pastor said a while ago, there may not be a lost person in the building tonight. Well, that's good in a way. I'm glad everybody here's been saved and knows the Lord. But just because there's not a lost person in this building doesn't mean that there's not lost person people among us. Oh yes, there's lost people among us. I mean, among our families. There's lost people. And you see, sometimes we think, well, there's no lost people in the church. I remember the last time I was here, a revival. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but Cindy had a sister, had been lost, but she came to that revival. She came to that revival. And she came right up here and bowed down right there on that altar one night and sought the Lord. But she got saved, not that night that I'm talking about, but she got saved. You see, the work that we do here tonight, or the work that we do this week, it may not turn out to the saving of a soul of that particular night, or maybe even this week, but I believe that it will. He said earlier that the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish in the thing whereunto he sends it. It will. One person plants, another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And so, glory be to God. But the harvest is plenteous. That means there's plenty of lost people that needs to be saved. I came down the road today, the interstate along. They was out in the wheat fields, harvesting the wheat that was golden ripe. And they were out there even today, some. I saw some equipment out in the fields harvesting the wheat. I hope they have a bumper crop. But I'll tell you, there's a bumper crop of people that needs to be saved. Oh, I've got some on my heart. There's some that lays on my heart every day. Some that some of you know, but I don't want to, you know, just talk about me. I want to think about all of those that's lost, that's among our families. Jesus said the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, I'm going to tell you, you won't find any laborers laboring in the vineyard of the Lord that has a spirit of slumber. You won't find any laborers laboring in the vineyard of the Lord that are discouraged. The laborers in the vineyard of the Lord are those that have been revived, and they can see that this battle is winnable. It is, with the help of the Lord. You know, we have a great God, and he's a great deliverer. You know, he's able to do above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think, the scripture said. That's pretty good, isn't it? If he can do that good, above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. He's not handicapped, but we are. You see, there's so many things that hinders us as God's people. Sister Tanya told me just before I came over here, her husband and a helper been trying to have an effort meeting in Akron, Ohio, a little church up there. And some of the members, she said, scheduled vacation. They had to leave about Wednesday or sometime, you know, a revival week. Well, the world has a very strong attraction. The world, it's attractive to all of us, the world. It'll get a hold of us. But you know, there's a passage of scripture in the book of James that ought to set us right about that. It says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We can't be a friend of the world and try to serve the world and be a friend of God and try to serve him. There's choices to be made. There's choices. And we all make them. Well, this building could be full tonight, but every one of you that are sitting here tonight made a conscious choice sometime Sometime in the last few days, or maybe today, could have been this afternoon about 6 o'clock. You know, you might have said, well, I would really like to sit here in this recliner, but I think I ought to get up and go over to Faith Church tonight for the river. It's choices. We all make choices. We can't be a friend of the world and be a servant of God. The scripture says that there's a remedy for that. And the remedy is recorded right here in this fourth chapter book of James. And I know that this passage of scripture has been used many times in preaching to lost people. But I don't believe this passage of scripture was really just meant for lost people. I believe in its original that it was meant for saved people. It was meant for those that are saved, those that are redeemed, but finds themselves not where they should be with God. The scripture says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, a sinner is not a double-minded person. That's a saved person. A saved person. We are double-minded. You know, we say one thing and do another, or we say we want to do a certain thing, but we don't do it. We're double-minded. These words are for God's people. And it says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He lifts us up. He lifts us up by His Spirit. Isn't it good when the Lord lifts us up? You know, I guess people think that preachers, never have any problems, never get discouraged, that preachers, are this or that. But I'll tell you, I see some of them kind of shaking their heads. Brother Jeremy here, I love him. And I love all my preacher brethren. I appreciate all of them that's here tonight, but I just want to tell you, they may not want to tell you, but I've been doing this long enough, but I don't mind telling you that preachers get discouraged too. Preachers get discouraged. Satan discourages preachers. Sometimes you just want to quit. Sometimes you do. But you can't. But you just like to. At least for a day or two. But you can't. But when you get to that place, God will always pick you up. God will come along and He'll lift us up and He'll revive us again. We as God's people, we need to be revived that we can become laborers in the harvest of the Lord. And that's what we need. We need laborers. I'm talking about burden bearers. That's what that word means, laborers. It means burden bearers. It means to toil. To toil. I grew up on a farm. My daddy taught me what it was to work and to toil, to exert effort. That's what you had to do to get the job done. And I thank God that I learned that at an early age. Paul said that he thanked God that the Lord counted him faithful, putting him in the ministry. This work's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for those that become discouraged and quit. It's okay to get discouraged if we'll just do what that passage of Scripture said. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to us. And that's how that He revives us. When we really want to be revived, then God will revive us. When Israel really wanted to be revived, God would revive them. He does the same for us today. We may have to be afflicted and mourn and weep, and our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. Oh, all of us would say joy is better than heaviness. Maybe not. In order to get where we need to be with God, maybe we have to have heaviness. Maybe we have to have that. But if we do, so be it. Because what God's able to do for His people, what God's able to do for us, how God is able to revive us again. And I'm talking about really revive us so that we can have the joy of the Lord. So that we can have the joy that only God is able to give us. And that's what that we're talking about. But you know, we need that. We need to be revived so that we can become laborers in the work of the Lord. Because the scripture says in about the 66th chapter of Isaiah, the scripture says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You see, I've seen that right here in this place. Right here. I've seen sinners on the altar seeking the Lord. And I've seen God's people down on the floor travailing and in prayer and praying to God. And I've seen the answers to all of that. Yes, when Zion travails, when the church travails as a woman in labor. You see, a woman cannot bring forth a child without the labor. Cannot do it without the travail. It's a must. It must be there. But that's when a child is born. And that's when a soul is born again. A new birth. That's when a soul is born again. When that Zion travails. But we can't do that until that we've been revived by the Spirit of God. You see, God has a way. God has a way. You know, I guess in one way we could say, well, you know, Satan is just trying to discourage us. Not a lost person here tonight, as far as we know, not a lost person. But you know, that ought to give us something to pray for. It's not that there is a shortage of lost people, I assure you that. There's no shortage. We can pray for them whether they're here or not. We can ask God to intervene. I just believe that God will meet with us this week. I just believe He'll meet with us. Because He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me. He's never failed His people. I believe that we can have a good week of revival of God's people. And that lost people can be saved before this week is over. I just ended a week. I told you 10 days in Bowling Green. I was about 5 people seeking the Lord. We went 10 days. We preached the gospel every night. Brother Jerry Miller, the pastor there. We went 10 days. Not one soul had told us that they were saved. On Sunday night, we had the dismissal prayer. It's all over. I mean, we put in 10 days, the church. And there's been lost people seeking the Lord there in that church all week, all over the house. We come to the final night, and the final prayer had been prayed. And Brother Miller went and stood at the back door. He does that almost every service as the benediction has been praying. He'll make his way to the back door so he can shake hands with the people as they go out. And this little girl, 12 years old, she came up to him and she said, "Brother Miller, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul." And he looked at her with a bewildered look on his face. I guess I wasn't back in the back. And he said, "Well, honey, when did the Lord save you?" And she said, "Tonight." She's just 12 years old. She don't even look 12. She looks about 9 and just a little young girl. And she gives short answers. And she said, "Tonight." And he said, "Well, could you tell me a little bit more about it? How did that happen?" She said, "When I was sitting there on the pew beside her mother, the altar service was going on, and she was praying. She wasn't even on the altar, and she was praying. And that's when the Lord saved her." You don't have to be on an altar to be saved. I've known lots of people got saved sitting in the pew, coming down the aisle, somewhere in between. Well, she got saved the last night of the revival. And we didn't even find out about it until half the people had already left to go home. I'm glad I'm still there, because we rejoiced. We rejoiced over that little girl that got saved. Oh, how precious. You know, if you labor for a week or 10 days and one gets saved, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. May God help us tonight that we can draw nigh to God. You know, I found I'm as weak, you know, as anyone here. But I found that when I really need God, that I can find Him. I found that when I really need His help, I can find it. All I have to do is humble myself in His sight, draw nigh to Him, and He draws nigh to me. We can find help in a time of need. We can. Folks, we need help. We need help. We need God's help. That's what we need. We're not big in number. We don't have to be. You know, I'm reminded of a time that God's people was going out to battle and they had too many. That just don't sound right, does it? Have too many? Well, it did. They had too many. And they had to narrow them down, and they kept narrowing them down. You know, we got down about 300. You can have too many, especially if they're not all in tune with God. All we need to do is just get a hold of the Lord. And we all know how to do that. I don't have to tell any of you how to do that. You all know how to do that. But we have to humble ourselves before God to do it. I'm going to turn the service back over to your pastor and let him do whatever he wants to do. But folks, we got our work cut out for us. Amen. But we're going to be here. We're going to be here. You know, we're going to be here at 7 o'clock. We're going to be here on time or even before. And we're going to give it the best effort that we know how to give it. Amen. That's what we're all going to do. That's what we're all going to do. And I hope all of y'all that's from somewhere else will come back. You know, I see so many faces here tonight that just, you know, it really moves me. I look back and I see a lady whose husband just went home to be with the Lord not long ago, Brother Dennis Parker. I tell you, that man was one of my best friends. He bailed me out one time when I was in dire need. He bailed me out. He came and he did some work for me when I was in dire need. Brother Dennis Parker showed up and he got the job done. And one of the finest men that I've ever known, one of the finest builders that I've ever known. He's over there. He's over there. You know, we're still left here laboring, and we're building. I couldn't drive a nail if you got it started for me. You know, you got to get a nail started, and then you got to hit it good. I never could do that. I hit it about the third time I hit it, and it laid over every time. I never could drive a nail. God didn't call me to drive nails, but we're building. We're building. Oh, listen, I believe it's going to be good this week. We'll work together. We'll just work together. You know, there's some that's not here that might could have been. God uses His people. You know. Brother Maggart, you come. God help us.
This was a great message of encouragement. Great message to let us know that our efforts are not in vain. As long as we labor in the Lord and we put ourselves in His hands, He'll bless the efforts. And there will be a bounty that will come from it. It might be an encouragement to us to go forward week after week after week after this meeting's over with. Or it might well be that souls will come in, they'll hear the gospel will be saved. Whatever takes place, if we put our all into it, then God will bless it in every way. And I appreciate the good message tonight. If there's someone here that's lost, this altar's open. But I'm going to ask at this time, just that we have a Christian handshake. And I would ask that those that would to stay in the altar, we might have an altar prayer, to petition God for what He wants done in the service night after night after night. And to petition God to move by His Spirit to touch someone that knows this meeting's going on, or for somebody to get the message to somebody about this meeting going on. There's a lot of other efforts that are starting up tonight. There's some that are continuing from this past week. And I pray that they all be successful in the work of the Lord. This soul's been saved. But as far as Faith Church is concerned, right now is our time to serve the Lord. And we appreciate everybody that comes in to help us. And just like Brother Forster said, we hope you'll come back. If it's where you can. But I know how it is in trying to get around and visit other churches and help out a little bit here and help out a little bit there. And oftentimes you can't come back. And we understand that, but you can pray for us. And you can tell somebody else about the meeting that might come, and we'd appreciate that. I want us to have this time of fellowship together and encourage each other. And when the church is represented, some of you have meetings coming up, not this future, some maybe a month or two away. But still, let us, in our fellowship, say that we'll pray for one another, that we love one another, that we want to see the Lord be successful with our respective churches and bless us in the efforts that we put forth. Sometimes we focus on those that are not here, that could be here. And we think, well, if they was here. Now, the Lord said, wheresoever two or three should gather, my name, I'll be in the midst. So those that are here is the ones we've got to work with. And those that are here are the ones that are showing where their heart is. And Jesus said, you know, that where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. Some people's heart are in things of this world, and they get the treasure of this world. They might get the pleasures of this world. They might get benefits of this world. They might get things that are encouraging to them in the life ways. But the real treasure of spiritual blessings comes when you serve God. And I appreciate what he said too. You know, I've known many people that take vacations to be at revival instead of to go away from revival. But again, we can't worry about those. We can pray for them. But those that do come, those that come and put their heart into the service, we can expect God to be with us. And I pray that each and every one of us will fulfill what he expects of us But I know that he'll fulfill what he said he would do for us if we'll just serve him. Because we have a solemn ask you to come around, and not just to shake hands with me and pray for you, but to shake hands with each other and to say that you love each other. And Faith Church, we need to really show our love to those that are going to be with us tonight. And then those that would, let us remain in the altar to pray for the continuation of this service and the blessings that God has such abundance to give to us. I oftentimes pray, I say, Lord, I don't deserve a blessing, but I sure would appreciate one. But there are those times where the fortune is. That preacher as well as everybody else gets discouraged and don't see how things can work out. Don't see how things can go on. And Satan gets us in those situations, and he uses every trick that he can to try to make us think that things are not going to go well. But sometimes I just have to ask the Lord, just give me a little blessing. There's been those times when it gets us come. It's like when you see somebody down, you just want to put your arm around them. Say, it's going to be okay. That's why some of you are hurt in prayer sometimes. Ask the Lord, just take us up. These great big arms of love, draw us up close to us. It's really his beast, his love. And those times when things seem so discouraging, just to have him come up and just feel like his arms are around me. When I was called to preach, I put it off 6 weeks before I told him. The weeks and nights that I told him at church, I'd gone home from work. I put on some gospel music. The Happiness Quartet had Wayne Wilbur to give voice and sing with at that time. Jackie was singing a song on that album. I could feel his arms around me. And that's the way that I found myself. All of a sudden, God put his arms around me. And I just said, Lord, if you want me to preach, just give me the same feeling tonight, and I'll tell you. And I did, even though I tried to get everybody around talking about everything I can think I'd talk about except that, I finally did tell him. For over 41 years, I've been trying to preach. And there's been a whole lot of ups, there's been a lot of downs. But like before, she said, there's never been a time when God didn't come by and lift me back up. And that's why I'm praying for this church, and say, come lift us up and bless us with a blessing that keeps going. That'll let us know he's still there. He's still with us. He's still going to help us. He is our rock. He is our strength. And let's rely on him. Just have a song. Just come back. Enjoy God's love with each other.
Third wave of debate is 84.
That brother Force, you appreciate it, and I hope you did.
Oh,
I appreciate everyone coming tonight. Before we pray, does anyone have anything you'd like to say? Whatever it might be, the Lord is in your heart.
I appreciate the good message and always remember my husband.
What else?
I want to thank you for your service. Let's say it's been a good year. I want to tell you how much you mean to us. You know, I didn't have a wonderful home, but I couldn't pick a better second one to have. I appreciate the Lord bringing him into our lives. I asked the church to pray for two of my nieces. I just, Caitlin and I just have had from Florida visiting with them. And as far as we know, both of them have been saved. But the oldest one doesn't attend any church at all. She's working bars. She's doing things she knows is not right. And the youngest one has started taking her children to a church that is so far away from our faith. I'm pretty sure I made her mad a few weeks ago. But you know, the Lord laid it on me so heavy to talk to her about those children and their souls and how she was raised the right way and how she knows to take those children where they can be saved. And she pretty much told me in a roundabout way and even in my own business that where she was taking them was teaching them about Jesus. That's, you know, every place probably teaches their way about Jesus, but it's not the right way. So y'all pray for them. I look at those little children and I think, how can you have salvation in your heart and not want it for your children? How can you take them somewhere you know is going to send them straight to hell? So y'all pray for them, please. And pray for me and Carrie. It has been really hard the past year and a half to be separated, and I'm trying to tie up Lucy's here to get to it. But there's things like there's so much going on. I'll just pray that the Lord will help me get everything straight up so that I can get up there with him.
Pray for my granddaughter. She does not know I was in the service. Told her I was in church. Ask her if she's going to come anytime this week. She said she probably would, but I don't know if she will. But I have to pray. I pray she's been saved.
We've got two men come here in their 60s that are not saved. Got a teenage boy that we don't know for sure where he's staying, but all indications based on what he said is not saved. Let's pray that something will get hold of them, that they might come this week, and one or two of them may, but let's pray for them. God knows what their circumstance is, and then there's plenty of people related to the families here that are yet unsaved, or they have grandchildren who are unsaved, or whatever it might be. So let's pray for those that we can have influence on, that God can put us in touch with, that we can help them come in touch with God. Anyone else?
It makes me good to be here. I want to tell Brother Forshee how much he means to me. And it's not about praying for him, but a few years ago, I helped him in the revival of Barry Lyons. I don't know if I helped him. He made me work a lot. But we were able to spend a week together, and I needed that week special. And you were a huge influence in my life, and I appreciate that. And I hope we get a chance again at some point in the future. But Brother Barry has helped me through some times he probably didn't even recognize or know it. You were preaching the night my wife got saved. Just a lot of things, how things work. We just don't always pat people on the back like we are. And I appreciate all that's done. Some of you all were there when I got saved, when I called, told my call to preach, all those different things. Time takes us away, and miles at work, and all these different things take us apart. But golly, we all love each other. I mean, we got to work together. We got to labor. We're getting the stuff and be out of it. And we need each other. And I appreciate all y'all, what you mean to me. I can't tell anybody in the what you mean to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Appreciate all the efforts, and I hope y'all have a good ride. My goal is to be back, but I may not make it home tonight, so. But I want to tell y'all how much I love you and appreciate all of it.
Appreciate you being here tonight. Anything else?
I appreciate being a player coming tonight.
Anything else?
I have a question. How about my sweet bless?
Bless you. Anybody else?
Well, thank you for your service all night. Appreciate the good message. Message that I know there's a lot of churches that are represented here tonight, but that's a message that every one of our churches need to hear. You know, because cold and indifference that's in our churches right now, we need revival. I believe this all a whole lot of good if we would mourn and weep.
Amen.
A little over the things that's going on in our churches and in our homes and our country.
Yeah.
You know? A little theology goes along the way. We need the theology to go with it. We need that one-on-one, and we need that. A lot of us just need to get back where we need to be to the Lord.
Amen.
Where we can serve Him like we need to. He takes care of all the big stuff.
Right.
If He didn't do it, nothing would be done. But I appreciate the message tonight. How do you do? I'm glad I'm here. Love everybody here.
Amen.
Y'all pray for us. We'll try to pray for y'all. Bless you.
Thank you. Bless you. Anyone else?
Brother Maggard, I might say that since we're going to be praying here, let's remember all these other Bibles as well.
Right.
Wherever the message is going forward, somebody that said there may not be lost people here tonight, but there are lost people everywhere. And lots of revivals in progress this week, will be next week, and the week after that. And pretty soon Mount Calvary will be on, and I just want to remind everybody to be praying for us as well. It's first Sunday night in August at 7 o'clock. So keep us in mind your prayer. We'll start praying tonight.
I'm thankful Mount Calvary has a pastor now in a long time without one. And I think Brother Taylor Greer will be preaching here July the 26th. I think Mount Calvary's, at least some of y'all plan on coming that night. And, we already had a schedule for each where he called the pastor out there, and he felt like it'd be a good thing to go ahead and meet so the churches could come together, and I appreciate his attitude on that.
Brother Luke Spurgeon will be helping us.
Okay.
And Brother hated to miss coming here, but they had already scheduled a vacation before we called and everything, but I know his prayers will be y'all too.
Okay.
But he and I had talked about it, so.
All right. Just remember this request. Anything else? If not, we'll let this be our closing prayer. Unless the Lord moves, if He moves, we should keep on going. But, otherwise, we'll just let this be the closing prayer. And I encourage our members and anybody else that can come back tomorrow night and be here to help carry on this meeting. There's nothing else at this time. Brother Barry, would you start the prayer?
God, gracious, most loving, and merciful, and all that you've done. Lord, we bring
officially.